Good morning and shalom. I want to worship God for his goodness and his faithfulness. This morning, he has given us yet another opportunity that we can come together to look into his written word. His word is the light unto our feet. His word guides us in everything we do while we are living in communities that do not believe in him or in God. We need instructions and we need to know what do we need to do in some cases and what don't we need to do. I want you to realize that while we are among people who do not know you, who do not trust in God, and who do not love God, who reject God, there are three things that, or there are three guiding rights that can help us in to do that, and particularly when it comes to public worship or to public gathering or public worshiping and coming together into the public. That means when we are before the unbelievers, when we are before people who do not know God. Number one is that from every culture that we find ourselves in, there's what we call the positive culture. Culture should not be demonized. The way of life of people should be respected. The moment God takes you to a people group, or you come from that group and you converted and become a believer of the Lord, is that every culture should be loved, should be respected, because this is the way of life. This is what nature has given people or has taught people. And it's not everything that is birds. So what should happen is, number one, we should get to realize what is positive in that culture. And what is positive, we should run with it, and we should act, and we should not fear to do it. When you say positive, the marking scheme becomes the word of the written word or the veiled word and the word of God. That is the marking scheme. That is the benching mark. That's what you are able to say it's positive. Number two is what is outright negative. Negative means that it is condemned in the written word, that God has already said this is not the way to go. And for that reason, you know what it's explicitly written. It's said. And as it is said, then you should not do it. For example, there are some culture that advocate for the circumcision of a female. You know, that is explicitly condemned. There's now eating in those idolized feasts. We have already said that is idol worship, or worshiping of the idol. It is already condemned. And we have seen a number of things. We have talked about sexual immorality. It is already condemned. Now, these things have been talked about, all taking one a believer to a court of an unbeliever. It is condemned. So that is negative, and we should study the word to understand that. Number three, and this constitute more of what it is that there's what's called neutral. We do not know. It has not been explicitly said. We don't know whether it's positive or negative. But now what happens is that what is not explicitly negative or positive we should use what we call discernment. And discernment is the one that we read, and our conscience will tell us, conscience that has been washed by the blood of the Lamb, it can be able to tell you what it is supposed to be and what is not supposed to be. And therefore, for this reason, Paul was able to give some directives, and he would say, is it beneficial that, you say that all things are permissible? You see, that's a statement that helps you to understand that all things are permissible, all things are permitted, that you can do whatever you want to do in a culture. But then you should ask yourself, is it beneficial? Beneficial to who? Is it beneficial to other people? Does it bring benefit? Does it bring good to the people? Number two, you should say, I can do all things. Now, these are the things that we call gray area, principles of gray area. And this is where we are saying that we use the discernment. And the discernment, you're asking, whose spirit is at work? Is it God's spirit at work? Is it man's spirit at work? Is it the evil spirits at work? Because these spirits are interplay. They can play aloud here in that culture. So you should be there to ask. And as Paul would say, God will guide us. Then you say, I can do all things, but is it constructive? Is it going to construct? Is it going to make people learn? Is it going to make people better as they are? So these are some of the principles that we use, whether good, whether it's positive, negative, or neutral. Now, in chapter 11, from verses 1 to 16, we now shift into a very important area about public worship or public gathering, public assembly. It would be nice to understand that this is a long journey in as far as, or a long answer, or a big answer, or discourse, or a discussion that is actually coming from chapter 11, 12, 13, and 14. So you can understand that Paul will be talking about this. You'll be guiding this new community on how to gather, on how to assemble. Allow me first, so that I can set the pace, to ask, what's the difference between gathering and assembly? That will be very important. Gathering is when people come together in public without necessarily unified purpose. Each of the people, they come together, but they might not necessarily have a unified purpose. You see, when it comes to the gathering of people, wherever they are, many people have their own agenda of being there. Yes, at one time they might find themselves speaking, and this or the other. And even what they speak, they do not have that we are coming to talk about this. I want to give a very good example, or an analogy that can help us understand between gathering and assembly. You see, when it comes to a machine, we have got something that we call the assembly line. All when when a car is being created or made, the people, like in a country that does not really manufacture these, they bring in, or they buy all the parts of this car. And when they bring all the parts of this car and they put them together, now when these parts are put together, they are called gathered parts. They are parts that are capable of making a car, but they have not yet made a car or a moving object. But every part is needed. But now when it comes to the ordering, that's the word, the ordering of parts, that this part should be connected to this part, and this part should be connected to this part. Now that we start the process of assembly. So assembling is more than a gathering. It is when we are now coming to coordinate, is when you're coming to order. And everything, I can give several examples, but on to that, even information. When you get an ordered, unassorted information, information that is in data, which is what is called data, you know, it has just come in, information has just come in, but that information has not been interpreted to make meaning. When that information is there, it is actually gathered information. But when that information has been ordered, now that becomes news. It becomes knowledge. It is already gathered. It is assembled. And so we are talking about this assembled and, you know, the difference. So this author, Paul, now talked about that the most important thing is the covering of the head when it is about public worship. When people come to worship and other people are watching, the most critical thing is about the headship. It's about authority. It's about getting authority from a particular one source. It will be important to realize that God, we have got only one source of authority on earth. We do not have two places. Authority comes from only one place. And authority comes from God the Father, God the Creator. He is the Creator of heaven and earth. And according to the instructions given here in 1 Corinthians 11, we know that authority is only one. Authority talks about permission. That is very critical. It would be good for us to know, where are we assembled? Who are we under? Who are we over? Who are we connected to? And that's the only thing that he's talking about here, especially in public. Because we are there to do something. We have got our function, our objective is to glorify God in public, is to make God known, is to let people see the good works, and they may glorify our God in heaven. And so here, Paul talks about worship, and he's saying that God the Father is the source of the head, and he is the head of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ is the head of a man, and man is the head of a woman. You see, it is a chain of authority. We don't break it. And that is created for what we call order. It is what makes assembly possible. And so Paul is saying that we should, that the Corinthians would be able to imitate him as he imitated Christ, because every man is like Christ. And Paul says, I'm an example. Now here, it needs somebody to be able to subject themselves into the area where they are assembled for the assembly to happen. Christ himself assembled himself. It's a willing assembly. It's a submitted, it's a will. You submitted your will. And he said he did that when he died on the cross. And so he said, I'm so glad that you always keep me in your thoughts and that you are following the teachings I passed on to you. And he says, but there is one thing I want you to know. The head of every man is Christ. Christ is the authority of Christ. And the head of woman is man. And the authority of a woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. That is in general, and that's the rule given. Then he says, a man dishonors his head, or a man dishonors Christ if he covers his head while praying or prophesying. Now, if you can come to two levels here, because this need to be understood in two levels. One is on the physical, that the physical is the covering of the physical head, which is a typology, which is an example. You're supposed to learn from what they see, is because spiritual truth is learned from the physical truth. So this chapter has got both physical or natural teaching, which is now the example of the head, the physical head, but we are talking about the authority of that person. So we are saying, if a man wants to pray to the uttermost authority, that is God, should not cover the immediate head. So if you talk about this and you don't look at all the heads together, for example, a man who is worshiping God, because we should worship God and God alone, and you cover your immediate head, which that is Jesus, you are dishonoring your head. And a woman has got several heads. It's got the immediate head, that is a man, and there's a other head, that's Jesus, and there's a head with God. So a woman must cover the immediate head, that is the man, so that he can be able to reach to Jesus. And Jesus is the one that would be able to take this woman to God, because we are all supposed to be worshiping God. And it's be good to understand that this headship issue, everybody is supposed to take themselves to God. A woman, that in this new community, everybody was free to go to the God the Father. But it's only God the Son who can take you to the God the Father. And when it is about public worship, it would be good to realize that a woman needs to cover her immediate head, that is man. That man should not obstruct a woman to get themselves to the God of heaven. And so Paul gave this as an instruction, and it will be good for us to realize that we are not talking about the gathering, but by assembly. The covering will be very important. God, we thank you for the understanding of covering our heads. Help us to know which head to cover and which head not to cover. Help us not to realize that we have got an opportunity to bring ourselves to you. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.